The City's Backyard podcast is about the arts, entertainment, music, and your community. It's The City's Backyard, airing on all platforms.
Today, we're in the backyard with this really cool actor, Robin De Jesus. Did I say it right, Robin? That's a tough name to pronounce.
Beautiful. That was beautiful, De Jesus. I love it. Thank you. I appreciate the love.
So you're Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah, correct. Born and raised in Norwalk.
I love it. You're a Norwalk guy. You're right in the backyard of New York City. You went to Norwalk High School?
Correct. Yeah. That school had a big impact in my life. You know, growing up there, people probably know in Fairfield County, Susie Pettibone ran the choir. Jeff Smith, may he rest in peace. He passed away this year, was in charge of the music department. And that music program was popping when I was growing up. So I was really fortunate that the universe conspired to bring me there.
Nice. So you're coming back to your hometown. You're going to be doing a little gig over at the Music Theater of Connecticut coming up this month on March 23rd. I want to get into your background before we even talk about that. You have, you know, this childhood love for acting. You're a three-time Tony Award nominated actor, and you were most recently seen as Ray Colon in Hulu's Welcome to Chippendales. Also, you starred in the hit Netflix adaptation of Tick, Tick, Boom in 21. You were featured in the Ryan Murphy-produced Netflix film The Boys in the Band back in 2020. And what'd you get a Tony Award for that? You were nominated for that?
I was nominated for it because we did the play and then we made the movie version. Yeah.
And then you were seen as George in this really cool indie film Milkwater, which was in the Brooklyn Film Festival back in 2020. And automatically, I thought that you were in Brooklyn, but you're actually in the backyard of the Bronx.
That's funny because at that time of Milkwater, I've been living in Brooklyn for 8 years. So I'm just, you know, I'm testing out all the different boroughs. I maybe not so much Staten Island, but the rest of them. No judgment.
What's wrong with Staten Island?
Just the distance. That's really all it is.
It is. I remember as a production assistant, I went out there for something they were shooting. I think it was for that TV show NYPD Blue that at the time they had horses and they got rid of the horses. But your acting career is taking off and you also have Broadway credits. You were in Rent, In the Heights, Wicked, The Boys in the Band, which you received your third nomination. And I'll let you pronounce the other one that you were in.
Le Cage aux Folles?
Yeah.
Yeah, Le Cage aux Folles is basically, did you ever watch the movie The Birdcage?
I know of it.
The Birdcage is a movie with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. It takes place in Miami. They're a gay couple that owns a club and their son's trying to marry a conservative woman, and it's a farce. So the Cage aux Folles is the source material for that movie. It's the original French play and musical. I was really fortunate. I grew up in Norwalk. I did theater at Crystal Theater, which is a school in Norwalk that is still there today, I think going on 30 years or so. And I sang in the church choir as a kid. Someone introduced me to theater, a friend of mine from Norwalk. And so I started doing shows at Crystal Theater and Norwalk High, and musical theater was really the thing for me. It kind of redirected my life. I thought I was going to end up back in Puerto Rico, which would not be a bad thing. My whole family, they came stateside to Connecticut to work with the idea that they would return to the island to own a home and, you know, live out the rest of their days there. And so I always thought that was what the future held for me. And when I discovered theater, it was like, oh, guess what? There's a fork in the road. And I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And musical theater sort of, as a kid who was bored often and who didn't have a lot of hobbies, it was one of the first things that I felt passion for, that I felt stimulated by, and that I felt was relatively easy to learn about because of that excitement. And so... When I graduated from high school, some of my teachers convinced me to study classical music because they felt like that was a safer lane for me. I'm a short dude. I'm a person of color. And back, you know, especially in 2002, people, it was a lot more difficult to get work as a person of color. I'm also a femme-presenting gay man. So, you know, there it always felt like everyone viewed my authenticity as...
Not that there's anything wrong with that. You ever see that Seinfeld episode?
No, but I do love Seinfeld.
Oh, there's an episode where they refer to, you know, a gay couple or something, or someone's gay, and they said, not that there's anything wrong with that, like throughout the whole episode.
Which makes you wonder, like, do they feel that way? I'm really fortunate that I had really great people around me that really supported me, so I was able to early on in my life be very okay with who I was. But when I got to New York, it was because I went to a random open call for this indie film called Camp. It was 3 weeks after high school. I thought I was going to study classical music, and I ended up booking one of the leads. And that really made me go, oh, hey, like, I don't have to change and study this thing that it's not really my passion. I can pursue acting because clearly there's this thing affirming that I meant to do this. And it just so happened that even though my intention or my passion was theater, that particular film was about kids who were obsessed with musical theater. So even though it was a film, there was a parallel there. And that really changed my career. I was 18 years old. I went to Sundance for the first time.
So you're saying that you got into musical theater, changed your career than just trying to be an actor without any musical background?
Yeah, it was always musical theater for me. It was always the combination of acting and music in the way that theater does that. And you know, it's funny because musical theater gets a bad rep for being cheesy, but it's because it's a really hard art form.
And let me tell you, I saw the Buddy Holly story at MTC, and you know, if it reflects music, rock and roll, there's all kinds of musicals, you know, Jersey Boys, and music is just such a great form of art. And you know, the podcast supports the arts. It's about arts, entertainment, music, and community. I'm so glad to have you on. I mean, I am becoming more open to musicals too, because they're a lot of fun. So Robin, let's take a break and come back and talk about your show at the Music Theater of Connecticut, because you know, you're coming right back to the backyard here of Norwalk, Connecticut. So more with actor Robin De Jesus coming up right after this.
Get back on the road with peace of mind with auto repair services you can trust. Accurate Auto Repair at 203-854-0338 or check them out at accurateautonorwalk.com.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouthwatering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Live theater is back and in your own backyard at Curtain Call. There's always something on at Curtain Call at the Sterling Farms Theater Complex, Newfield Avenue in Stamford. For half the price of a Broadway ticket, a family of four can see a show at Curtain Call. Call 203-461-6358 or go online to curtaincallinc.com. That's curtaincallinc.com.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill, right here on the Post Road in Norwalk, 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk, to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in the heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
We're back. You're listening to The City's Backyard.
Robin De Jesus is in the backyard of the Bronx, and he's a Norwalk guy. Robin, this is so cool. So you were saying that you got into acting. Your love of acting came about when you tied music into it. Is that basically how it went?
100%. You know how it is. Music just vibes different. You're able to access so much more emotionally. And as an actor, like, it allowed me to access parts of myself that I didn't know I could. And so eventually after a couple years of doing Broadway shows, I made my debut in Rent the Musical, in the Heights, and working with Lin-Manuel Miranda. years later, I started working again in straight plays and films. And a lot of that had to do with Ryan Murphy wanting to produce a revival of The Boys in the Band, which had never been done on Broadway before. And he had it in his mind that he wanted to do a Broadway revival with an all-star Hollywood cast and then bring the entire cast over to do the film at Netflix. And that kind of really redirected my career in my 30s. And since then, you know, you mentioned I worked with Lin-Manuel Miranda on Tick, Tick, Boom, and I did that Hulu TV series. So life has been interesting, and it's not at all what I imagined it to be when I was a musical theater obsessed kid in Norwalk.
Yeah, and you were in some of these Playhouse productions of Grease, Godspell,
Paper Mill Playhouse, yeah.
Yeah, and also Aladdin, right?
Yeah, there's a spot called the Muni in St. Louis. It's the largest outdoor theater in the country. It's 12,000 seats, and you do the show outside. It's bonkers, yo. Bonkers, like, it's in the middle of a park. I've had a random baby fox come up on stage in the middle of the show, jump into the pit, and then run out through the crowd. We've had camels doing number one and two on stage while people are dancing and on top. It's the craziest stories come from there, but it's like summer camp for adults.
What made you want to do a show at MTC? Did they approach you, or did you just feel like you would reach out to them?
I mean, I have always wanted to do a show in Norwalk. It's my home. It's my hometown. I have such love. I'm frequently there. My family's still there. Whenever there's major Norwalk events, I always try to show love.
It's Broadway in the backyard, basically.
Yeah. But Musical Theater of Connecticut reached out to me. And I was really, really grateful. I have this new cabaret act that I've been working on. It's storytelling, it's comedy, it's music. And I'm sort of just like chipping away at it and figuring out what the show is.
And so it seems to be popular, that format, these days. Even like these classic rock legends, you know, do that when they get older and they don't want to pay a whole band. They might just come out with their guitar. I'm talking, you know, Roger McGuinn from the Byrds, or Denny Lane from the Moody Blues, Paul McCartney and Wings. That's kind of what they do. And even if they play in other bands, they like to do their own little storytelling. And that just seems to be more interesting when you mix it up, right?
I mean, for me, it's where I feel more at home. You know, John Legend's doing it now as well. Sarah Bareilles has done it in the past.
Really?
There's something about the intimacy. There's something about connecting people with it in a different way. You know, for me, my intention with the show is for people to get to know me in a different way. And I don't mean, you know, like overshare in a, like a Jada Will Smith kind of way. Or, you know, I'm thinking more of a, you know, the way I think, the way I view the world, and how that affects my art and my creativity and the stories in which I want to share. That's really more so what it is. Like, I like to think of it as you're sitting in my living room and we're just talking, and then I'm going to entertain you. And hopefully
do you take questions or not really?
I don't. But you know what's funny is I do love audience interaction. That's a great idea, by the way. I might have to think about that in the future.
Well, you know, sometimes they'll shout out something and then you could kind of play off of it. It's not necessarily a Q&A what I'm talking about. But, you know, like these musicians, some of them will have to deal with, you know, requests.
Oh, I've had it happen. You know, the loudest audience member has actually been my mom. I'll tell a story about the family there. I'm oversharing. And I remember doing a cabaret once at 54 Below in New York, it's the space that used to be Studio 54. And I said a story about my mom, and my mom was playfully annoyed. So she started talking back at me from the audience.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I rolled with it. I love that stuff. That's why this art form is, it's why I love it so much. It's why I think these elder stars are coming and doing it, because there is something about that connection that hits in a very different way.
And I also feel like since the pandemic, things have changed, and, you know, just a lot of the stuff is more intimate, you know, even Music Theater of Connecticut is a very intimate theater, but, you know, they are expanding. So that is really cool. I mean, you know, the pandemic put a damper on theater, and that's what I wanted to ask you. you know, you audition from your apartment or what? I mean, you're auditioning virtually, or are you going into New York?
So it's interesting that you mentioned the pandemic too, because a lot of my cabaret came from the pandemic and my thinking post pandemic, but also just like us coming out of it, because energetically you feel like everyone's different. You feel like everyone's collective nervous system is experiencing life differently. And, you know, I wanted to just sort of soothe that and add some balm. For me now, it's been bizarre. Since the shutdown, I auditioned from home.
Right.
I typically get an email from my agents or my manager that says, hey, here's a breakdown. Here's the storyline. Let me know if you want to do this. You have until, say, Wednesday. And so I record on my own with a friend. Typically, I FaceTime someone to read the other part in the scene. I have a ring light set up. I record on my phone. I edit on my phone. And I just put a backdrop up. And I'm in charge of the camera. I'm in charge of the sound. I do all of that. So that's been stressful for me. That's not really.
Yeah, for the technology part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also like, I want to just act. I want to just do
it. Well, now you're the director of photography as well. You know that, right? Right, Robin?
100%. And so that there's been a learning curve with that.
For sure.
What I do love is, you know, when I did Welcome to Chippendales, Kumail Nanjiani's the lead, and my character worked opposite him, and we had to do a chemistry read. And that was fun because we did it on Zoom. So even though it wasn't in person, I was on Zoom with the director, producers, writers, and him, and we could sort of read each other's energy and give them an idea of what it would be like, them being the creatives, what it would be like to be in the room together. Those are the moments that I enjoy the most. I won't lie, though, for my palate, I should say, I miss the old days of going in person. I miss being able to charm people in that way and having that human interaction. But
and also seeing other actors. It's very isolating auditioning from home in a
very,
way. But,
and that said, there are actors that love it because they get to do as many takes as they want. They get
that's the advantage people. I was just going to say. Or they could do it in their slippers, you know, or their sweats, you know.
I'm more of a I prepare so well beforehand that I just want to get in there, do it, and get rid of it. I'm not one of those actors that typically afterwards is thinking incessantly about the gig. I throw away the sides. I rinse myself off and I just try to move on with life so that it doesn't own me in that way. And that's how I stay sustainable. Yeah. So I do miss that. But you know what? We're rolling with the punches and I recognize the privilege in being able to get to do what I do and work with the people that I get to work with. So it's first world problems.
You just miss the excitement of going into New York. But I'll tell you, as doing some auditioning myself for non-union acting, I can tell you that I like saving the train fare, but I definitely miss that interaction. But I don't miss, you know, spending 5 hours of my day just going down to Lower Manhattan, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm really fortunate that where I am in the Bronx I'm a 3-block walk into Manhattan.
So do you go in a lot?
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Literally, I cross the street and there's a bridge that's 3 blocks over into Harlem. And I have a bunch of friends there. There's a lot more theater happening in Harlem. Though the pandemic has been rough, when it comes to indie films and off-Broadway, there's a lot buzzing right now. I think there's a world where we're forced to create in a new way that maybe doesn't pay something a fee that is sustainable for all of us. And that very much sucks because economically everyone's feeling it. But I do think that people are exploring ways to make good art that is coming from a soul heart place that's deeper. And I think we've needed that.
For sure. And I think that, you know, theater is coming back, you know, concerts are coming back. Just life is coming back. All the things we enjoyed are coming back, but just in a different way, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think also audiences appreciate things differently now because of the isolation of the past. Everyone is, when you go to see a show, audiences are way more excited and expressive than they were before.
I guess it's the result of all our post-traumatic stress. Right. Yes.
Yes.
It's now therapy for everybody. 100%. Well, this is a lot of fun, but I want to talk to you more. We have to take one last quick break. I want to talk about your recurring role of Jose Silva on Law & Order SVU and some of the other TV projects and film projects. You know, we don't have to get too deep into it, but let's come back and just chat a little bit more and have some fun. Does that sound good?
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. More with Robin right after the break.
Escape the ordinary and let your taste buds wander through the enchanting landscapes of the Mediterranean and the Caribbean at the all-new Costa Vino Wine Bar Restaurant. Check out their happy hour specials and enjoy a symphony of tastes from their delicious menu. Costa Vino, located at 36 Westport Avenue in Norwalk. For more information, go to CostaVinoRestaurant.com.
Keeping your home or business warm and running efficiently during the cold winter months shouldn't be a challenge. Call the Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk for your free system evaluation and start saving money today. Google them for more information at The Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk.
Hello, this is Vince Santilli, CEO of Homes for the Brave, and we are so excited to be having our 8th annual comedy night featuring professional comics that are U.S. military veterans. It'll be on Friday night, April 5th at Vizzano's Four Seasons. To get your tickets, go to homestothebrave.org. That's homestothebrave.org.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
From the Empire State Building's backyard, you're listening to The City's Backyard with Matt Szako.
We're in the backyard and we're having a lot of fun. So Law & Order SVU, how'd you get a recurring role? You just auditioned one day and the next thing you know, they started calling you back?
It's the craziest story. I went in for a role that was supposed to be in the first 15 minutes of an episode, like almost 10 years ago. And I remember... It was the guy in the episode that you think committed the crime, only to find out that it's more complicated than that. And I play a furry, a guy who's attracted to anything furry on your clothes. So he assaults a woman who he thinks is dead. She's wearing a shearling jacket. That was the end of the episode for me. I got arrested. You find out it's not me. A year later, they brought me back for this whole other plot line where Mariska Hargitay's character gets kidnapped. And I was roommates in the halfway house with the guy that kidnapped her. Then, like the couple seasons later, they brought me back as the roommate of a guy that breaks out of a prison. And I found out the reason they kept bringing me back was because it became a joke in the writer's room. Apparently, really? Yeah, they would just be mapping out the episodes and they'd think, you know, we gotta add a character here. What should we do? And someone would go, bring the furry back. Bring the weirdo furry back. And it just became this joke. And I realized that the last time I was on the show, it's been a couple years now, but the last time I was there, a bunch of the writers came out to meet me and they started giggling. And that's when I made the connection. I was like, oh, this is a bit that they have. And I think people don't realize that sometimes in the writer's room, they're creating stuff also for themselves, you know, little like inside jokes. And I happen to benefit from that. But I will say it's weird being in Connecticut and taking my nephew to get a haircut and being recognized in the barbershop for being a sex offender.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That's awkward.
Weird.
That's awkward.
That's definitely awkward. Wow. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of Puerto Ricans have been in New York and have spread out with Norwalk. There was a lot of factory work in the 50s and 60s. So all migrant and immigrant workers were coming in. And so my family migrated from PR for work there. And there's something in the culture as we stayed in America longer. All of us had family in the Bronx or in New York. Or I know we would go shopping in Fordham Road because it was cheaper than going to Bradley or Caldors in Norwalk.
Really?
Even though we go there as well. Yeah. So New York has always been about sustainability for us as a collective. But I think also there's just something there. If you go to Bridgeport, you feel the same thing. If you talk to the Puerto Ricans in New Haven, Hartford, Waterbury, It's a very similar thing. And it's interesting because people don't realize that Connecticut is the state with the highest percentage of Puerto Ricans, more than New York.
Had no idea. And I love the fact that, you know, we just tied in the backyard to New York City because essentially, you know, the arts come out of New York. But, the you know, Connecticut, believe it or not, does have a lot of artistic people that live in the backyard. You are from the backyard. So, Robin De Jesus, this was so much fun talking about all this stuff. But we need to save some of it for people going to the show. So how can people buy tickets? We'll put the link to the MTC website. And how do people follow you?
I am on Instagram. My handle is @RobinOfJesus. It's a play on my name. My last name is De Jesus. In English, that means Robin of Jesus. So you can follow me there.
I think we figured that out. Well, that is really cool. Well, listen, best of luck with the one night show in Norwalk at Music Theater of Connecticut. Are you excited?
I'm super excited. Come share space with me, y'all. It's all about just having a relaxed, fun evening. Put your cares away. Let me entertain you and be with community.
Well, Robin, thanks for dropping by the city's backyard today.
Hey, Matt, this was really fun. I always love coming to the backyard. Love my hometown. Wishing y'all blessings.
That puts a wrap on the city's backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.